Here we go.
With my dad in the garage, the sawdust, that pine saw in the moss. Around every spring, when the winter thaw, we'd huddle around the radio, twist the broken knob. 7:10 a.m., no KJR. Davey House's voice would echo throughout the yard. Couldn't have been older than 10, but to me and my friends, the voice on the other end might as well have been God's. 1995. The division series, Eggers at the bat, bottom of the 11th inning, got the whole town listening, swung on and belted, the words distorted, Joey Core rounds third, here comes Griffey, the throw to the plate, not in time, my oh my, the Mariners win it, yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome, we had just made history. Woven, barely holding that stitch. Creases of time amongst the grime and the grit. Weathered leather, used to pound his fist. To some it's just a mitt, but see that glow is him. Yep, tell me stories on the field with that sun-stained rim. Blood under my chin, he taught me how to spit. Sunflower seeds back with me and my crew. Sunburnt arms, big league shoe. Yeah, we were like the sandlot after dinner. After practice, we listened to the M's in the kitchen. And if mom wasn't tripping, come on, dad. Please, I swear, this one more inning. Voice would pump, pump through the system. Break out the rye bread. It's grand salami time, my oh my. Another victory, yes. My city, childhood, my life. Watching Griffey right under those lights.
I'm your host, Matt Ginnert, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
kind of a good week to be a Seattle sports fan.
It is. It's one of those things we've talked about before. I mean, I've always been a Mariner fan. But for whatever reason, the last couple of years, I've just lost interest. And I think it might just be the drought. I mean, we're used to having, you know, long periods between winning seasons, but I don't know what it's been. Just the last couple of years, I just kind of lost interest, but I happened to be watching the game when the magic number was one, and you know, to see them get into the playoffs with in such dramatic Mariner fashion,
yeah,
it was honestly right up there to me with the double.
No,
I mean, it's to be sitting there watching it, I think, is what it is, you know, because you can, as a fan, you can remember where you were. I remember where I was when the double was hit. I remember the feeling of watching that happen. I remember watching Dan Wilson come up and like climb the big unit like a freaking, like he was King Kong, you know, after that, you know, he struck the guy out in the ninth inning. I remember, you know. I remember these things, you know, I remember Beastquake. I remember watching it and standing up and like pretty much pounding on the couch, like, go, go, you know, all of that. And this was, this had that same feeling for me that all of a sudden when he swung that bat, you do it.
It was a very good feeling. Don't get me wrong. I got chills watching it. One, I've always been a fan of Mariner catchers. And we've had one, right?
Dan Wilson.
But I was a fan of Valley. Before Wilson,
Valley was a great catcher. He just couldn't hit.
It doesn't matter. I was a kid. I was a fan.
I know.
Right. I mean, we can look back at the stats now and go, why did I like Dave Valley? You know, like,
which, I mean, my favorites, Alvin Davis, Jay Buhner. I mean,
yeah, but relatively, above average stats.
Yeah.
Maybe not all the way across the board, but Buehner above average home runs. You know, mm-hmm. Alvin Davis was the first Mariner rookie of the year ever.
Yep.
Like, I get those ones, right? My two favorite Mariners, actually three, when I first became a Mariners fan as a kid, my three favorite Mariners, outside of anybody who grew up in this city in the 80s, probably couldn't tell you who the fuck they are, is Dave Valle, mm-hmm. Spike Owen.
Oh, yeah.
And my all-time favorite is Jim Presley.
Yeah. I know who all of them are because I grew up here.
Jim Presley is the reason in Little League I wore number 17. I always had to have number 17. Like, it was just... he's the reason I wanted to play third base. I realized I didn't have an arm to play third base, but that's the reason that I wanted to play third base. You know, it was just... And again... Right, I think we all have that when you look at, like, the Sonics, right?
Yeah.
People know Kemp and Peyton, and we all loved Kemp and Peyton.
Oh, yeah.
But who was the cult fucking favorite here? A guy named Steve Scheffler.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe got off the bench 3 minutes a game. But fuck, when he got off the bench, people went fucking nuts.
We all had players. I mean, look at Bucky. You know, in the Seahawks, or not the Seahawks, but the Mariners.
Jacobson, yep.
Bucky. I mean, you had Luke Wilson, who was a huge fan favorite here, but nobody else knew who he was.
Yeah, I follow Luke on Twitter. I love him every week, man. He's fantastic.
So many people make fun of him because he freaking did the whole, like, show with a man bun.
Yeah. I mean, you go back old school Seahawks when we sucked. Everybody knew Largent. Craig was an all-pro, you know, or pro bowler. But, like, Rufus Porter, loved Rufus Porter. John L. Williams got no respect outside of here, but I love John L. Williams.
What was that, Mac?
Our fullback, yeah.
Mac, who basically was the whole reason Sean Alexander freaking was on.
Yeah, but he had recognition. It was just a position that isn't very respected, right? Yeah. Because only five or six teams run a fullback.
But I mean, he was really good, but a lot of people just never gave him credit.
You know, so there, I mean, we all have those, but I think the difference with this Mariner to 95 and why it's not what it is to me, one, 95 was the first time ever.
Yes.
It wasn't a drought. It was history making.
Yeah.
Right? You can't have a drought if you've never been there.
No.
So, two, it was against the fucking hated Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them. Fuck everything they stand for. Fuck all of them. Right? And so that was huge. And it wasn't to get into the playoffs. It was the playoffs.
Yes.
And that makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, everyone forgets, too, the night before, to keep us alive to even get to that game, Edgar hit a walk-off grand slam.
I was going to say that was Edgar's 7 RBI game, right?
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
He had like 7 RBIs in the playoffs to even get us to that game.
Yeah. So, and don't get me wrong, like Cal Raleigh batting 208, I think he was.
Mm-hmm.
25 homers, so we know he's got some pop.
Yeah.
Pitch hitting, so he's cold. He hasn't even played all game.
Yeah.
Takes the count full, and, I mean, just jacks that home run.
I mean, when it left the bat, you do. Everybody.
Well,
everybody
as long as it was fair, you knew.
Yeah.
The distance wasn't going to be the issue.
Yeah.
Now, when you watch the clip, now you watch the game. I've seen the clip. The clip's only one angle.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear Rick Riz, the announcer, say he hit it off the Hit It Here Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it looked like it hit the foul pole. Did it not?
No, if you see the other angle, it's in about 20 or 30 feet from the foul pole.
Okay.
So it's in a bit. I mean, it looks close from one of the angles that I've seen. It looks really close. But from one of the other ones, I mean, it's still close, 20 or 30 feet, but it's not as close as you think. But it was still, I mean, it was beautiful. It was a great shot. You know, I saw someone post something if it was up there with Kirk Gibson's, and I'm like, I'm not even a fan of him, but Kirk Gibson's is that's
that was Mr. Pickett.
As a fan of the Mariners, it was fucking amazing as a Mariner fan. But as a baseball fan, the Kirk Gibson shot not even close.
Well, World Series and to clinch a wild card berth, right?
I mean, but it's the end of 21-year drought.
I get it. Kirk Gibson in the World Series.
But that's it. I know. Kirk Gibson. And literally walking out with his knee so swollen he could barely walk. You watched him walking up there, like, barely being able to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they, even the announcers are like, he's got to hit it out of the park, because if he has to run, he's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Oh, I know. Fuck, I'll tell you a story here in a little bit.
I had to go back and actually literally, like, after someone posted that, and I'm like, there's no way. And then I had to go back and even watch it again, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, yeah. No, I'm a Mariner fan, and Cal Raleigh's, that was fucking amazing, but it's not Kirk Gibson.
See, and it's all fine and dandy, but, right, and nobody's going to remember this down the road, right? Everybody's going to remember Cal Raleigh's home run.
Mm-hmm.
However, the very following game, with a win, they have a chance to host the wild card playoffs, and they fucking lose.
They won the next morning.
Okay, it was Monday then.
Yeah.
But still, they didn't finish the job.
No.
They Marinered it.
They did.
That was
one thing, and I hate to say it because I don't want to be a pessimist, and I didn't want to be a pessimist, but until he hit that shot, it's like I kept telling Amber, I'm not going to get my hopes up because they're the fucking Mariners.
Well, I'm still not getting...
I love the Mariners, but I'm just like, I'm not going to get my hopes up that they're going to fucking finally end this until they actually do it.
Yeah, I'm still not getting my hopes up.
I mean, they're getting the playoffs. Well. I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, I want them to do well.
I want them. What's that?
I want them to do well.
I want them to. Don't get me wrong. I want them to do well. But, you know, it's like we've mentioned before why we always had a different team, like football team that we rooted for. We had the same thing with baseball. I had another baseball team that I rooted for because I needed one for the playoffs.
Oh, I never had a good one. Mine's always been the Padres.
Oh, yeah. You like losers. I mean, well, Mariners,
that's where
Padres,
I'm from.
Huskies, you know. But
I also like the greatest hitter in Major League history.
Bo Jackson?
No, Tony Gwynn. You know. And to be honest, it kind of worked out in my favor because who are the two biggest trading partners in all of fucking baseball? It's either the Mariners and the Yankees or the Mariners and the Padres.
Yeah.
And the Padres were a spitting image of the Mariners. You know how many fucking superstars the Padres traded away?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Ozzie Smith, Dave Winfield, the Alomar brothers. Like, you know.
See, mine was always, I was, like, and we've talked about it, that I was an Oakland fan for a long time, too. But that was because the Oakland farm team was here, and I'd watch the Tigers a lot.
Yeah.
So, but then my other one was the Braves. I was always a huge Atlanta fan.
Now,
and I don't know why. I just, that's happened to be who I picked. I think it was mainly Maddox. I liked Maddox, and that made me.
I like the Braves of that era, right?
I'm
not a Braves fan. The Braves of that era with Maddox, Avery, Glavine.
Oh, yeah, because Maddox was, Maddox.
Right, Fred McGriff was always a very likable player. Chipper Jones, when he was a rookie in
92-93. Yeah.
I was always a big fan. Like I said, I always wanted to be a third baseman. Chipper Jones was fantastic.
Owens, so you can move over a little bit.
Jeff Blauser, Ron Gant, Terry Pendleton. Like, there was a lot of them. So I was trying to look up this is why I'm not excited. As soon as this page fucking works.
Oh yeah.
When you look, like, our average isn't good.
No.
Player wise. We do hit a lot of bombs, but I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Right? And we have absolutely no trophies to back it up. Now what excites me, the team's young. They should be together for a little while. I've been saying this for a couple years, right? I think they needed to get young talent.
Yes.
Growing some of their best talent and keeping them and, you know, getting them better, grooming them.
Well, and that was always our biggest one of the arguments we've had before where we've talked about this, and we've talked about the fact that the Mariners' biggest issue is they get young talent, they start to get them groomed, and then they trade them. And then all of a sudden, so we were like the big farm team for freaking the Yankees, basically. And then what they'd also do, we were also where, like, you know, players went to die.
Yeah, we'd get
the... we'd get these huge, big-name players, but it was at the end of their career. It's like Ricky Henderson, yeah, he stole some bases for us, but he was like 50 when he came here. I mean...
Kevin Mitchell is the one I always think about. Because Kevin Mitchell was a big fat guy, played outfield. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed him very much. He represented me. I always remember the barehanded catch in left field, chasing the ball down and reaching up with his bare hand and grabbing it.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Big power hitter, not so much an average hitter, you know. Mm-hmm. But you're right, end of career. And it was a letdown because I was so excited to have Kevin Mitchell. And for why?
And that was kind of it. Like when we got Henderson, I mean, I was so excited because, I mean, it was fucking Ricky Henderson. What, I can't remember what year it was where he stole more bases than every other team in the league combined.
Yeah. You realize he still has a stolen base record by like 800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fucking Ricky Henderson. And then he comes here and it's like, you see a picture of him and you're like, holy fuck, he's old.
I'm really curious.
I mean, he did play for, but I mean, I think what he played like 1 or 2 years here, and I mean, he did okay, but at the same time, it was still like. Then where you'd see every once in a while a couple players where we get them and they didn't do so good here, and then they did really good, came here, didn't do so good, and then left.
He was in Seattle for 1 year.
Yeah, in 2000.
2000, played 92 games. I guess there's a breakdown right here, Seattle. 92 games, 395 plate appearances, 324 at-bats, 58 runs, 77 hits, 13 doubles, 2 triples, 4 homers, 30 RBI, 31 stolen bases. That's not bad.
No.
That's one every 3 games,
mm-hmm.
which isn't...
No, I mean, you don't hear from that from anybody else either. I mean, that's...
You know, he was only caught stealing 9 times in the second to last year of his career. You know, he's 63 walks, 55 strikeouts, 238 batting average, which was below his 279 career.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I mean, he was never a great hitter, but he was good at getting on base. And once he got on base, making use of that.
And if you remember 95, we also had the poor man Ricky Henderson. The wish Ricky Henderson.
Which one was that?
Vince Coleman.
Oh, yep.
You know. So, no, I get it. And it is exciting. And I've been saying it for a couple years. I've been getting excited about the Mariners. It really sucks that fucking Root Sports has the rights to the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch them. I don't have cable, right? I stream Hulu Live. Yep. They're not available on Hulu. They have an app, but you have to have a cable provider. And guess what cable provider's not allowed on the app? Fucking Comcast. Mm-hmm. Where in the past we've used my father-in-law's password and his Comcast account to stream different things.
Yeah,
and we can't do it with Root because they don't allow it. And so I only get to watch them when they're on the national, you know, Fox Game of the Week or ESPN's Game of the Week or whatever. So it totally sucks. I have the MLB extra innings. Your local team is blacked out if you have that. Yeah.
Oh, because they probably expect that you can watch it on your local channel or whatever, something stupid probably.
So all I get is the radio broadcast. And that part of the app's kind of cool, right? I can tune in on my phone through that app to either our broadcast or whatever team we're playing. So like if we're playing the Yankees, I can hear the Yankee announcers or whatever.
Yeah.
But the last few years, we've actually taken the kids to a game every year, you know, because the talent's young. It's fun. It reminds me of how baseball should be played.
That's why they called him the kid. I mean, I think they called him originally he was called the kid because he was just so fucking young when he came up. But then as his career continued, he never stopped being that kid.
Yeah. Always the backwards hat and the smile and the mm-hmm. playfulness and, you know.
And always looked like he was having.
I think I froze. I've turned into that unwritten rule asshole baseball guy.
Uh-oh.
I've noticed coaching this year. I've got some kids that just they're trying to steal bases on their own by taking mm-hmm. advantage of, you know, somebody tying their shoe or not only that, we've been thrown out so much trying to do it or messing with them. I had a kid purposely getting a pickle at home down by one. Would have been safe by a long shot, and he stopped 5 feet from home and looked at the catcher and said, come get me.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I've turned into that baseball purist. Like, you know, it's just, oh, it drives me nuts. Like, I spent Saturday screaming at my kids for they fucking pulled a hidden ball trick on the special needs kid. First day of practice, I had two rules for him. I don't play that shit and good sportsmanship.
And that breaks both of them.
Yeah. And the second they started, I could see him start the hidden ball. And I said, nope, nope, nope. And the kid went to stand up from the base and took a step off and they fucking tagged him. Now I got parents from the other team screaming at the boys, you know.
Yeah, because it's... Yeah.
Constantly chirping. Like, we won last night, but before that, we were 0-5. Like, what are you chirping about?
And that's the thing. It's like, our generation was different. You didn't chirp. There was occasional, like, you try to get into their head, but there was a line.
Yeah.
You know, there was this batter swing, you'd yell from whatever, but you weren't yelling at your teammates for being something bad. You'd pull them off to the side and said, hey, you know, what's going on? Hey, maybe you should do this, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, it's like, I've been seeing, like, I know it wasn't getting too bad when I quit coaching, but I've seen a couple other people that I know that are have kids, you know, around that age too, that are having the same issues. They're talking on teams where like the kids are trying to play, you know, they're seeing all these things on YouTube and everything else with these hidden ball tricks and all this other shit. And it's like, there's still a thing called sportsmanship. If you have a kid that, you know, you don't win. If you win by making the other team look like shit and feel like shit, that's not the way to do it. Yeah. If you won because you were the better team, awesome. If you won because you played some stupid game and picked on the weakest link, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not my way.
Mine either.
I was saying, I played with you enough and, you know, coached with you to know that that's not your way either.
Yeah, it drives me fucking nuts. Oddly enough, we had none of that last night. We did have, I got one kid that just isn't getting it, that Araya belongs and deserves to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he started yelling at her again last night. He was pitching. There was a bunt. Araya's playing first base. On a bunt, she is...
Cover the base.
Absolutely.
Well, it depends
not.
On which side the ball goes to. If the ball is on the right side of her and up the line, she might go for it if the pitcher is going to cover. But, I mean, it really depends on the play, too. Depends on where the ball is. Straight down the line to the pitcher, she stays at her base.
So how do you teach it? That might be a better question. Because how I teach it, corners crash,
mm-hmm.
middle infield goes to the corners.
Yeah. And I mean, usually that's it. That's the way it should be. I mean, it's, yeah.
So Araya crashed.
The only time it wouldn't be, if you, the second you see him square up, yeah, she should have been running up.
So Araya crashed. Second base didn't move until it was too late. Pitcher got the ball. Couldn't throw the ball because nobody was at first. And he started yelling at Araya. And I'm like, you've been here at practice when we've practiced this. This is what I teach.
Yeah.
Corners crash.
And she did what she was supposed to. The second baseman did it.
Yeah. So, but then fucking Araya, she's so slow. My God. She roped a shot in between first and second last night and got thrown out of first base by the right fielder.
That girl.
So slow.
Just got to nail it to get out there.
So
it's
slow.
It's always tough with the kids when you have that thing where sometimes it's like, you know, when they, it sounds like that one kid just has an issue with Araya. So anytime there's a play that he feels it's going to be on her, it could have been the complete opposite where she was the second baseman and, you know, covered like she was supposed to. And he would yell at her for doing what she was supposed to do. It sounds like he's just.
No, he does.
He has an issue with her.
And.
Which I'm guessing probably comes from the parents, too.
I'll be completely honest with you. I've never met his parents. They drop him off and they leave.
No.
But Saturday night, he played. I had him in at first base for an inning. And he played first base. And fucking five errors in the one inning that gave up four runs and we lost by three. Mind you, it was the final inning of the game. Now, we had last ups. We had a chance to come back, and we didn't. But not the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just one of these kids.
He thinks he's better, and he's gonna have some excuse, I'm sure, on the why he made those errors.
Araya's got more hits than he does.
Yeah.
14 less strikeouts.
But she's a girl.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
And that's what drives me nuts. I mean, she has every right to be there as much as he does.
But now let me... So, she's going through all this, and this boy wasn't the only one. The other one did it first game, hasn't done it since, and has actually been real kosher with her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's taken abuse all season from multiple people, right? She wants to play baseball next year and not softball because softball sucks that much.
Wow.
Her school softball is... the worst coach program I've ever seen in my life.
No.
And that's not even me as a coach. That's me as a parent watching, right? These girls never hit a real softball until game one. Wiffle balls and foam balls. Never saw real pitches until game one. There's been no teaching as far as I can tell. Last night there was not even a play, right? A foul ball. Girl fouls the ball off. It goes behind her. It hits the backstop. Shoots out into the field. And she takes off running thinking she got a hit. Not only did she take off running, the whole time the umpire's yelling foul, 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 foul. Right? Because you're taught if you hit the ball, take off running until you're told not to.
Yes.
She stood at first base for a good minute and a half before it finally got in her head that she needed to go bat again.
And like, this is the school team?
Yes. And Araya had the other coach last year and it was the same thing. This team's got seven girls that I can tell you exactly what's going to happen when they get up to bat. Because it's happened every single game. She has them bunt the first two strikes. I think I've seen three connected with on a bunt. They haven't taught them to pull back if it's a ball. And so you got, and I get it, right? You got girls that maybe new, can't hit yet, whatever. But now you give them one swing and a bat.
Yeah.
And you expect them to get good at hitting?
Well, I think what she's just hoping for is that they'll get a bunt and get a hit and get on base and feel better about themselves. I don't know. And that's the thing, because I know, I mean, I've seen both sides of it. Because the other thing I saw, like, when Zoe was younger, the reasons why she never played in school is because when she talked about trying out, the coach looked at her and said, oh, you play catcher? We already have three of those, so don't even bother.
Yeah, that's not going to deter Rhea.
And it was one of those things, because what it was is that where Zoe was at Hazen, basically the coach of the softball team was also the coach of a select team. So every player that was on the school team was part of that select team.
Yeah.
And so she just picked people from the select team. So if you didn't play on her select team, you weren't going to make the school team. And it was complete and utter bullshit. And Zoe quit because of it. She's like, well, then I guess I'm playing softball.
Yeah, I could see Bella playing that, doing that, right?
She was like, nope, fine. If there's nowhere for me to go with this, if I can't play in high school, I'm not going to be able to, like, even possibly, which I don't think she would have anyway. I don't see her doing that, but she couldn't use it for a college. She couldn't do anything with it. So what's the point of her playing?
Araya loves the game too much. I just don't see him letting it deter her.
Zoe was one of those ones. She loved it until she switched to softball. After she switched to softball, I watched her love of it start to go away.
Yeah. And I haven't seen that with Araya. I think what I see is I see Araya playing to the level she's on.
Yeah.
Right? When she plays with the boys, she feels like she has to pick it up a little bit. You know, she just feels she has to be better.
Yeah.
And when she plays with the girls, not so much. And she could easily... Now, they do have one girl on the team that's just a fucking stud. She's a catcher, just a fucking stud. I haven't seen her not rope a double yet. Like, you know. But I had Araya. I'm like, go talk to your catcher and start snap throwing. Have her snap throw to you. I think we've picked four girls off. You know, nice. They turn their back and walk gently back to the base thinking nothing's going to happen. So I'm hoping next year in high school, she'll have an idea because Bella's going to play high school ball this year. But, and we at least have the captains on our side. The two captains are also umpires for Maple Valley. And they've been recruiting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I know them pretty well. They're actually, their whole family fucking umpires, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's always good. I like when there's a good program that has diversity. Like I said, my biggest problem with, you know, with Zoe, with hers, was just pretty much, nope, if you, you know. And when I complained, of course, the school's like, oh, well, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
It's the coach's discretion. Well, fuck you. But that was Renton. Renton's fucked anyway. That's why we got out of there.
Tahoma's just as fucked too. So,
oh, yeah. No.
Don't let it fool you. It happens everywhere.
I know, but I just like picking on Renton because it's fucked.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me with basketball at Tahoma. I went to try out one and was told afterwards, same thing that Zoe was told. Like,
yeah.
And it was all the kids that practice with the coach at the Mormon church in the off season.
No, yeah, I get that. Because, yeah, for me in Tahoma, it was for baseball, I didn't even get a chance to try out because the head coach was pissed off at me because of something else.
I didn't even attempt after the basketball situation, so.
Yeah, I did pissed off the coach in wrestling. So once all of a sudden baseball came around, he's like, yeah, don't even bother.
Yeah.
So I immediately was on the JV team.
Oh, Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids didn't like his wife either. They both had her for English in middle school.
Yeah. I had a nice little thing on the sideline, like literally pretty much swearing like a sailor at him in front of everybody. So,
yeah.
In the middle of one of the wrestling matches. So,
yeah. Another thing in Seattle sports we didn't talk about yet is we have our new mascot for hockey.
I love him. I actually like it. I know some people don't.
What,
but
what was the name? Something Troll. Bowie. Huh?
Bowie.
Bowie. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't bother me at all.
No, I like it.
We had this
I
Facebook argument together.
Oh, it was a nice one. But mascots aren't supposed to be scary. Mascots are supposed to be what gets the kids and gets people excited and gets them going. And the mascots in Seattle never make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Cool Bird and, you know, Blitz. Makes sense a little bit towards them, but I mean,
yeah, Blitz fits.
Have a moose for the Mariners?
Yeah, go ahead and tell me what it was before a moose, because I have no fucking clue.
I don't know. They had the ship and the that would shoot off the cannons in the kingdom.
Yeah, and we had the guy that wore the barrel.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I want to see. Let's see. Mariners mascot history.
I think it might have been. Yeah, the Moose was like a fan vote.
A fifth grader.
A fifth grader picked it. But, I mean, with the troll, I mean, it still makes sense to Seattle because we've got, you know, the Fremont troll.
Which is where it came from.
Which is where it came from, which is still a, you know, a huge whatever. You know, it's a big draw to Seattle. It's one of the landmarks. So, I mean, I like it. It's one of those things that's going to make kids have fun with it. It wants to make kids dance with it. There really are no scary mascots, as somebody said. It should be a scary mascot.
Well, because it's a manly sport.
Well, but look at the rest of them.
It's no different than what's the San Diego, right? Padres.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have the Friar, right? You do see that in costume. But what is the mascot of the San Diego Chicken? Care to tell me what that has to do with a Padre? The Philly Fanatic.
The Vancouver Canucks have Finn. But Finn is a killer whale, but I mean, he doesn't look scary to me. He looks very, you know, which a troll can be scary, but the version we got isn't. Because it's for kids. It's supposed to be for kids to have fun. You don't see the Mariner Moose dancing with the adults very often. The kids are the ones wanting to get pictures with the moose.
Yeah, mascots have fun with kids and try to embarrass adults.
Yeah, and then get everyone riled up and excited. And I think it's good. The big thing I would think is I know a lot of people had the whole idea of, you know, like something like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean. I think one of the big problems you're going to run into with Davy Jones, I think it would be too heavy and cumbersome to be able to do anything with it.
Yeah, well, one, that picture I posted on Facebook on your post there that had the hockey mascots, somebody already has an octopus.
Yeah.
I mean, what were we supposed to do? Were we supposed to go with Henry the Octopus from The Wiggles?
No, God.
That one right there?
There you go. That would be a good one. Go with Henry the Octopus. Then they can talk about, what is the song that they have?
Fruit Salad?
The Clap. They can have the song talk about they want the clap.
Yeah, I like the troll. It doesn't bother me at all. Again, you have the Tacoma Rainiers, and their mascot is Rhubarb the Deer. You know,
The
Seattle
like
Supersonics. Their mascot was Squatch.
Yeah.
Like a Bigfoot.
Which had to do with Washington.
With Washington, exactly. So, argument denied. Really? Yep. And then, we were to round off the weekend, the Seattle Seahawks were only projected to win two games. We got our second win in four.
Mm-hmm. So now we got to lose the rest.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I see that happening.
No, I don't either.
But, and it's kind of bittersweet, to be honest, that nobody on this planet thinks Geno Smith is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson.
No.
But through four games, the statistics are saying he is.
Well, I mean, here's the thing with Geno, and this is what I'll say. Me and Amber were talking about this. As a traditional quarterback, I think in a lot of ways, Geno is better. The problem with Geno in a lot of ways is he's not the clutch quarterback. Where if you look at Russell Wilson, our biggest complaint about Russell Wilson for years was for that first half, we suck every game.
Yeah.
And then he would suddenly do good in the second half, and we were always playing catch up. Where Geno so far does really good in the first half, and then we have to hope our defense holds the second.
Now, he played well the whole game.
He did this last one.
Yeah.
But in the previous games, and it was the same thing last year, when it came down to the clutch and he had to make that winning drive, which he's already done once this year where he needed that winning drive, he tries forcing it and he loses it in the clutch. And that's my biggest worry with Geno. He is not a clutch quarterback.
Now, what I do like it is Geno right now
has the best like catch percentage.
Yeah. The
in the league.
He's the most accurate passer currently at like 77%.
Yeah. Which, like I said, I think fundamentally, I think he actually is a better quarterback than Wilson. My like I said, where I don't think he is
yeah, I don't know if I think that.
I just don't think he's better in the clutch.
If you put the two of them on a practice field where you actually work on fundamentals, I don't even think he's close. Like, Wilson, right? Now, when you put him in a live game, Wilson's fundamentals might look a little different because he can't see over an offensive line. He can't, you know. But just pure quarterback ability, regardless of height, I think Russell, his fundamentals are way better. His three-step drop, his, you know, ball release.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. My issues with Wilson in a lot of plays, too, is one of the things I'm seeing more and more is I think one of the big problems with Wilson, he didn't have the leadership. Where you see, like, players are actually, like,
I think he had the
responding to Geno, and there's a lot of things. Because if you see, like, now a lot of players, now that he's gone, a lot of players are showing their true thoughts on Wilson.
Oh, 100%.
And that they had none of them liked him.
I think his leadership, so to speak, is fake.
Yes.
I'm not saying
I think a lot of the players saw that.
Like, when you hear it, it's not bad. It's cookie cutter. Right, it's a lot of rah-rah bullshit, but no adult buys into it.
No.
If he was pulling that in high school, possibly even college, you know, probably looks and works really well.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're pulling that in the pros, you know, we're really at Super Bowl or bust.
Yep.
College, you're just trying to win 6 games to get a bowl invite. You know, so speaking of football and Seahawks, did you see Bobby Wagner?
No. Oh, when he leveled that guy on the
protester?
Field?
Yeah.
Yeah. He freaking leveled that fucker. That was awesome.
Did you see his little interview afterwards?
Mm-mm.
It kind of cracked me up. Let me see if I can find it. Pretty short clip, but it was pretty funny. Like, they brought up their about, like, Bobby said something to the effect of, like, you know, I don't know what these guys have. I don't know what weapon he has. You know, and the guy was like, well, speaking of that, what if he had one? He goes, yeah, don't worry about it. He didn't see me coming.
No.
You know,
no, he didn't. You see him, like, all of a sudden, he doesn't even see it. Next thing you know, he's just leveled.
This is a long version, but let's see if we can find it with a little fast forwarding. Yeah, it totally cracked me up. You know, I wish, now that I think of it, I wish I would have been watching the Peyton Manning Eli version instead of Aikman and.
Something we hadn't been doing through the first few games.
We'll fast forward here, see if I can find it.
I think we could have made more stops if we didn't get any turnovers.
Simon, or was he just a great athlete on that play?
And a half. I just saw somebody running on the field.
Okay, here we
go. Bobby, what happened at the end of the first half? I know. I mean, with the incident with the fan.
Huh?
With the fan at the end of the half.
I just saw somebody running on the field, and he looked like he wasn't supposed to be on the field. So I saw security was having a little problem, so I helped him out.
Did you hear anything from your coaching staff or anything?
As far as what?
About you making a play.
On
about
what?
You just about you making that play.
On the fan?
Yeah.
That's not making a play. That's just keeping it safe. We don't know what that fan got or what they're doing. You know, you see it all the time, and we don't know what they're carrying in their pockets. You know, it's whatever that little smoke stuff is, but it's dangerous. So, you know, I saw one of the guys on the other side. It looked like he got hurt, and security looked like he was struggling. So I was frustrated. So I took it on the fan.
When you
is that
him,
what's
did...
going through your mind?
What?
Is that what's going through your mind as you see the fan on the field?
I don't know. You just never know what they have. You never know what they got in their pocket. You never know what they got. And so, you know, I think security is doing the best they can, and that's an opportunity for me to help.
Did you think about that as you hit him? I mean, from your standpoint, what if he did have a gun or something dangerous that could hurt you?
He didn't see me coming, so he wouldn't have been. He would have had to pull it out pretty quick.
Just so stoic. I love that. I love that, man.
I do too, and it's tough for me because that's one thing, like, that's who's that's the jersey I still have. So, and that's the jersey that I wear. So it was kind of like this weekend, I was trying to decide if I just, you know, keep wearing his or look at getting another one. And I'm like, nope, I think I just keep wearing his.
Yeah. I mean, this year, possibly next, right? You don't get necessarily a chance to wear it in the appropriate, quote unquote, appropriate fashion. But you and I both know he'll be in the Seahawks Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be back when retired to raise the flag. Like, you know, he didn't leave necessarily on his own accord.
No.
Yeah.
You know? He just kind of got let go. And it's one of those things that, you know, like one of my other Facebook friends was posting something when Russell came back talking about how can people boo the man and everything? He did all this stuff. And it's like, I look at the jersey. He's not wearing a Seattle jersey anymore. I'll boo him. I don't care. But there, you know, and then she's like, well, she's a San Francisco fan. She's like, we would have never done that to like Joe Montana. I'm like, Joe Montana is a fucking legend.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to boo Joe when he comes back as a fucking Cleveland Brown. You're just going to be like, okay. But, and then someone else is like, and Russell Wilson's not a legend. No, Russell Wilson was a good player while he's here. I don't see him as a legend.
No.
Was he a quarterback that I love to watch? Yeah, but.
He's may no be a quote-unquote Seattle legend, but
yeah,
I think it has to do with the way he left, mm-hmm. right? And I think this is, we'll go back to baseball. And again, I hate Griffey. I booed him when he was here. I don't care.
Yep.
But when Griffey came back for the first time as a Cincinnati Red, he was not booed.
No.
He was cheered enamorously, right? I think the reason is when he left, there was no bullshit. I want to play at home. I want to play for my home team. Like, I've done what I feel like I can do in Seattle. And this is, you know, I'm sorry. It sucks, but this is where my heart's at. Right? Mm-hmm. You have Russell Wilson, who basically forced the trade.
Yes.
Wanted out. And not necessarily for the right reasons. Right? Yeah. I get it. There's a point in time in your career, a la Griffey, where you have personal dreams and aspirations that are outside of winning.
Yes.
Right? Because he wasn't going to Cincinnati to win. They weren't necessarily set up to be, I mean, they were a decent team, but they weren't set up like the Yankees, right? They weren't buying their championships. I mean, Denver's not necessarily either, but they sure paid him a whole lot of money. No different than when Alex Rodriguez left for Texas.
Well, and I think what it is, it's kind of like when Alex Rodriguez left, he had the whole thing that he kept saying, oh, it's not about money, it's not about this. But then all of a sudden he leaves for the biggest contract in baseball history to a team that we all knew wasn't going to the freaking World Series. And yeah. I think that's the one thing with Russell Wilson was the fact that up until the day he got traded, every interview, everything he did, he's like, go Hawks. I'm a Seahawk. I love Seattle. I want to be here my entire life. But we all know now that in the background, he's like, fuck this place. I want out.
Yeah.
And that's where it is, where Griffey came out and he's like, hey, guys. I mean, he was honest. Yep. He's like, hey, guys, I want to go home. I grew up, you know, here. I want to go home. I want to play for, you know, my home team.
Yeah.
And we're all like, okay, we don't want to see you go, but okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's a huge difference, right? And how you handle it is how, and it dictates how the fans are going to handle it.
Yes.
You know,
and I think a lot of people don't get that, where they're like, oh, well, you know, why would you boo someone so great like Russell Wilson? It's like, because of the way he handled it.
Yeah, if the fans feel you screwed them, they're going to let you know.
Yeah.
It's just how it is, right? And especially for guys our age and older, Denver's a hated team anyways.
Yes, so now, Denver was our biggest rival.
Now if you go to the fucking enemy, right? Like, I have a hard time still to this day rooting for anybody in Denver.
Yeah.
Always have.
Oakland and Denver. They were the teams that we hated.
Now, I'll be honest. Rival. I like Derek Carr.
I do too.
I liked his brother a lot too. I've always liked that small college quarterback. You know, they both went to Fresno State, and it's just been something like I just love that small. It's why I like Carson Wentz so much.
Oh, and he's eating some shit though.
Oh yeah. But
Carson Wentz eating some shit right now.
It's why I like Josh Allen. You know?
Josh Allen's freaking.
Yeah. But right now, compare Josh Allen's, 4 years to Carson Wentz's first 4 years. I bet you they're pretty close to the same. We don't know if Allen's going to fall off, but
Carson,
I still like that.
Ass for a while.
I still like that small town quarterback.
Yeah.
So, you know, but. I'm looking at fantasy here, and you had the biggest loss of the week.
I did. Like, every player I picked did the wrong fucking thing. So, like, if I had picked switch tight ends, I fucking win.
Mm-hmm. You win?
My tight end that was on the bench had almost 40 points.
Who the fuck?
I had fucking Detroit's tight end.
Oh, Hawkinson?
Yeah, he sat on my fucking bench.
And you started.
Every time I caught that fucking ball, and I was fucking crying. The whole time I'm watching the game, I'm like, motherfucker.
And you started Ertz.
I started Ertz.
Yeah, I think the general rule of thumb is, right, you start anybody playing Seattle?
I guess, because I just wasn't freaking. I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, I think Ertz will do good in this one. I mean, he was playing against freaking Carolina. Carolina's defense hasn't been that great. I'm like, oh, this will be good. But I didn't expect Seattle's defense to give up fucking the world, the fucking hot.
Well,
you know.
And to be honest, Ertz had 4 points more than projected. So it wasn't like he.
I mean, Ertz did a great job, but when you have a quarter or a player on the bench that got four times what the player that's in got, you want to cry. And then Josh Allen had his worst game of the season.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, still he had 25 points as a quarterback, but. He was projected. I was projected to win by 5, and I lost by what, 30?
28, yeah. So I'm glad I did win, and I'm going to throw up saying this. I won because of San Francisco's defense. I was down pretty big going into Monday night, and San Francisco's defense had 23. So not necessarily what you expect out of a defense. Especially against the Rams.
They're having some issues.
But I'm in another league with Tosh, and I happen to be playing her both in both leagues this week.
Yeah.
And she beat me pretty good in the other league. And like I said, going into Monday night, she was up by a little bit, and I was like, oh, I'm fucking done. And I thought I was going to have to sit here and listen to her say she beat me both games. Like, it wasn't going to be good. But we split, so that's all right. And then I made the same mistake you did in my big money league. I have, let me see here. I've got a bunch of receivers, and I tried getting smart, thinking I was smart.
Yeah.
So, Stephon Diggs, you automatically start, right? You just do.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one I had starting for sure was Juju Smith-Schuster. And it's just so hard with Mahomes as quarterback. Like, you don't want to not start one of their top players, period, because...
Yeah.
But, you know, Mahomes will find that lower guy... And the big guy won't get anything. But I had, we have three receivers in this one. I'm going to go to week 4 here real quick. I was in first place. I was undefeated. I was the only undefeated team. I lost by 1.95 points. I got smart and I picked up Richie James Jr., the Giants wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
All their other wide receivers are hurt right now. I was like, got to have somebody. Minus 0.85.
Nice.
I had benched in his spot Jahan Dotson from Washington, who had 10. I had Jerry Jeudy on the bench, who had 11. And I had I picked up Isaiah McKenzie, who had almost 11. So, yeah, I outsmarted myself. I thought too much into it. I literally benched Dotson 5 minutes before game time and put in the Giants wide receiver. I overthunk shit and fucked myself.
Yeah.
So I 100% get your mistake.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I can't fucking believe I did that. But it's, you know, it happens.
Oh, and this won't be the...
Unfortunately.
This will not be the last time it happens this year.
No.
Because it does happen quite a bit. But this gave me the second win of the season for me, which is good because it wasn't looking real good for me for a minute there. It moves me up into third place. You drop to... we now have the same record. So yeah. There's... third through seventh are all 2-2. You're the last place.
But I have last place because I have the least amount of points.
Yes. Yeah, you've actually given up. You've had more points scored against you than you've scored.
Yeah.
See, and then you get these lucky guys. Look at the top of the list there, Rod and Chris. They haven't even had 400 points scored against them. Now, Rod leads the league in points, so even if he would have had 400, it's probably still looking good for him. But I have 50 more points than Chris. Steven scored more than Chris.
I've actually scored the least amount of points in the league.
Yeah, you have, now that I'm looking at it. Wowza. Yeah.
But I have won one more game than below average Joe, the baseball kid in America's team, so.
Yeah, and... You know, for somebody who flaked out on the draft, I mean, you got some people.
I do. I just, my biggest problem is I keep having each week I have different people that just don't perform.
Yeah.
And then when I swap them out, like, you know, I swapped out this week and I mean, I think. What, the 1 week I had Patrick Mahomes play, he didn't do so good. And then I put, you know, switched to my other quarterback and he did better. But it just, I kind of go back and forth. And it seems like I just have a bad habit of whichever quarterback I pick has a bad week or whichever player I pick has a bad week. So, like, if I switch to, I'm sure if I switch to Hawkinson, he's not going to score a point next week.
Yeah, it typically works out that way. It's why, so tight ends, right? There's only two or three superstar tight ends that you're going to start every week, no matter who's on your bench.
Yep.
Neither you or I have those players, so we're okay there. Right? Now we have to fuck up and go, oh, who do I start? I don't know if I would ever have two superstar quarterbacks for the dilemma you're having.
Exactly. And it just, yeah.
Right? I would hate to sit there every Sunday morning and go, oh, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm at. So, because Josh Allen this week is projected to have 32. Patrick Mahomes is projected to have 31. So, but either one of them can have an amazing game or a crappy game. You never know.
So, you should offer one of those two quarterbacks to Steven for his entire team.
He'd probably take it.
To see what he does.
He'd probably take it.
You know, with all his dumb drafts and stuff. So, speaking of Chris, that's who I get to play this week.
So, who am I playing this week?
Let's find out. I'm playing Chris Pickett. You are playing Corey. I'm projected to win. You are not.
No. But I'm hoping, I got to see if something goes through in the waiver wire. So if something goes through in the waiver wire that I want, that should help me a little bit. But if But who knows? If I think the player is going to do great, that means they're not going to. But
oh, it never fails, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, not at all.
Never fails. So last week I forgot to mention that I did get to go to Whose Line Is It Anyways?
No.
The live version at Puyallup Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend. It was fucking hilarious. Ryan Stiles made some Russell Wilson jokes that just got the crowd jacked up, you know, but he lives here. He lives up in Bellingham.
Yep. He lives by Lake Samish.
He's got a little localness to him, you know. Drew Carey being here was fucking hilarious. Greg Proops was funny. Jeff Davis is probably my favorite non-big player. Mm-hmm. You know, I put him with like the Brad Sherwoods and, you know, those guys. And the other guy, I don't know who he is. He's never been on the Whose Line show before, but was funny. It was funny hearing him pronounce Puyallup. And every time one of them would fuck it up, Ryan Stiles would lay into him. They definitely did their homework and research, all of them, because they were naming like Clackamas County and, I mean, places that you either have to study to know in Washington or be from Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, you know, Ryan Stiles, I could see him because, like you said, he lives here. So
they were, I mean, there was one bit where they were doing where they were actually given directions from Chelan and talking about all these different back roads and 97 to Highway 2. And so I don't know if they did some road tripping before they got or just opened up Google Maps and wanted to figure it out or what. But so I think when they localize it like that, it makes it even better.
Yes.
And it was a fantastic, fantastic show. Well worth the free I spent for the tickets.
Nice.
So I did get them via work. So we had we had one of the boxes at Puyallup Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Went to the Puyallup Fair the next day with the kids. Fucking horrible time.
We didn't go at all this year. We just never had the urge. We're just like, eh.
We sat in line to throw a baseball at plates at one of the game booths for over an hour.
What?
Yeah. Took 2 hours for Bella and Tosh to get on the roller coaster.
Oh, Jesus.
So, it wasn't as fun as it has been.
Yeah, and I heard that from a few people, and it was just one of those things this year, it just didn't fit in anything we were doing. And I'm like, I'm not. Nah.
I grew a fucking guilty conscience is what it was. Right.
I started to.
So we went to the Whose Line Is It Anyways? It was Saturday night. We had a baseball game that I actually had to leave. First time I've ever left a game early.
Yeah.
But they postponed my game and made it an hour later. And yep. When I got the tickets, I was like, oh, I have no problem. The game's 3-6. Show starts at 7:30. No problem. Well, now it was 4-7 was the game. And I'm like, yeah, I got to leave early. Assistant coach was great. No problem. So we ran into the show as it was starting. Like Greg Proops was bringing out the other guest. And so afterwards, we were like, oh, we're hungry. Let's get in line. We'll eat some food. And I'm like, you know, let's just come. The kids all have their school passes. Let's just come back tomorrow. We'll stop somewhere on the way home and get food. Let's just come back tomorrow. We'll bring the kids. We'll make it a fun family day. And boy, did that was dumbest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. I'd say the only thing I could see us going is we always go and get the Monster Burger or the Earthquake Burger, yeah. Whatever that fucking huge damn thing is.
Yeah, so the Earthquake Burger is now $23.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. And I stood in line for over an hour and was still probably 20 people back, and I got out of line and said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Me and Tosh ate no fair. Well, I shouldn't say no fair food. We bought scones.
Yeah. No, you have to buy scones.
Well, we got there at open, went straight to the scone booth, and we're still 45 minutes out of the line.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's fucking scones. So we sat there and we bought scones. And then the only other fair food, when Bella and Tosh got on the went to the roller coaster, the other two kids were hungry and they wanted Krusty Pups.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought Krusty Pups and a Bloomin' Onion. That was it. Like it was not a good time at all.
Doesn't sound like it.
So, and then I did watch the new the last episode of Quantum Leap as well.
What do you think?
I think I'm really liking the show.
I am too. I'm really wondering what the you know, Al's daughter. That's kind of an interesting thing, and the whole idea of, you know, why did that
they went to the house to go find, right? Winston. Sorry, I know it's not Ghostbusters, but he's
magic.
Always going to be
that's
fucking
what they call magic. But
he was Winston in the fucking Crow too.
Yeah, I know who he was. Yeah.
Ernie Hudson. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's who they're going after.
Yeah,
there.
It's Al's daughter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, the space episode was super cool, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, the leap itself and...
But wait, the space episode, you should be... That was the last one was the fight.
I didn't watch Monday.
Oh, okay.
I to be honest, I totally spaced that it comes out Mondays. I've been watching... That's been my... Because... Nobody else in the house is real interested. So on Saturday or Sunday morning, when I get up a couple hours before everybody else does, that's my show that turn on and watch and sit back in dead silence with nobody messing around and get to sit back and watch it and enjoy it. And I fucking am.
Yeah. I so far, I've enjoyed it as well. I was slightly
skeptical
because, I mean, you know me, I love Quantum Leap just like you do. So I was slightly skeptical, but the more I've watched it, the more I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we're still in that era of nobody has new ideas, so let's rehash old shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard today Frasier's coming back with Kelsey Grammer.
Weird.
But no announcing of, they said Niles won't be a regular, but there's rumors that he'll have a cameo or a guest appearance. You know, the dad's dead.
Yeah.
So
the dog's dead, too.
The dog's dead. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this bullshit.
Interesting.
But
because I know that they're supposed to be, Night Court's supposed to be coming out with another.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be in the works. Which, I mean, that one, I could see that one being interesting. They're bringing back David Larquette. I mean, everything else. So, I mean, that could be interesting. We'll see. But.
And maybe I'm more excited about that because I was a fan of Night Court. Where I'm not a big fan of Frasier.
I mean, I've watched it. It was okay to watch, but I mean, Niles, Daphne, the
dad. How do you take the least favorite from Cheers and go, yeah, that's what we're going to base a sitcom around?
The thing is, it's really going to depend on the supporting characters because Kelsey Grammer wasn't the one that held that show up. It was everyone around him.
Yeah, that's what they were actually talking about on the radio when I heard about it this morning.
Everyone around him held it up in spite of Kelsey Grammer.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the one that made that show great. It was everyone around him. But I know his ego is going to make him think he's the one that didn't. No, it was that show worked because of everybody else around him made it work in spite of him.
But legitimately, my least favorite Cheers character.
Yeah.
You know, I would have much rather have seen Woody.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Or they could have done a prequel and give me Sam's baseball career.
Oh, that would have been funny, too.
They could have made it like that Tom Selleck movie, Mr. 3000 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things that I keep seeing in a lot of these. Like, I mean, because they came back with like CSI Las Vegas, which is just CSI.
Yeah.
And it's okay, but.
A lot of those crime shows do, but they veer off and, you know, the cast normally isn't as good. It's a lot like watching a rated NC-17, you know, like in theater movie that just happens to have sex with B big name stars, and you're like, I like sex in movies. I'm going to watch porn. And then you realize the acting's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
All right. Well, not that it'll matter to the listeners per se, because that nobody will listen to this episode before tonight's show. But
no.
One last time, you do have comedy tonight.
I do. It's Rusty is headlining it. Marianne is the feature. And then Romeo Nash will be the host tonight. And then next week in Ording, we have the Kitsap County Takeover. So it's going to be about five or six comedians from Kitsap County coming over and just basically taking over the whole show.
Yes. And then with that, no show next week because I will be in L.A.
Ooh, fun. Well,
maybe. I actually have to figure that out. I was talking to somebody else who's supposed to be there today, and they received their itinerary on Monday, and I have yet to receive mine. So maybe I'm not. All I have is a plane ticket. I don't have a hotel or nothing. So
they're doing that new thing they talk about, the quiet firing. They're just not.
They're Ron DeSantis and me.
Yeah, they're just quietly firing you.
They're sending me to California and then just leaving me.
Just leave you there. That would be worse. That'd be like going to hell.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.